everybody. Welcome to the Fan Gamer Podcast. My name is Simon Roberts, but you can call me Kevin. Today we're going to be talking about evolution, how things start off in video games and then get better, or do they get worse? Joining me today, to my left, I think, the one, the only, the man who controls everything, including the universe, but mostly the forums, Reed, the man, Young.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good, Reed. How are you?
I've been packing Snowwood hoodies all day, and it's a Saturday, so I can't wait to play some video games.
That is terrific. I'm sorry I'm keeping you from video games.
It's all right, man. It's all right. It's better than hoodies.
No, I'm not sorry at all. And then also joining us tonight, the man with the strange name, but he knows how to play the game. It's the Losart, Charlie.
Say hey, how you doing? Nah, I already did.
All right. Good. And then coming up next, we've got the man with the funny numbers on the end of the name. It's James Picard 007, but you can call him Joe.
Sup?
Sup. And last but not least, we have Liz. So, moving on. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her. She answers the questions on Twitter most of the time. It's Liz Neopala.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, so, Liz.
Sorry. Eyelids.
Eyelids.
Eyelids?
Eyelids?
That's what it sounded like.
Sparkling conversation. This is going to be the best podcast ever. I can feel it.
Indeed.
So, let's get started. What's everybody been playing this week? What's in your console?
Reed, are you punching the wall every couple of seconds? I keep hearing you, a very loud sound from that direction.
Oh, you know what? That's probably Steve's chair. Let me nerf the sound a little bit here.
No worries.
But I mean, since I'm making the most noise, I guess I'll start off and say that Steve and I have been playing Left 4 Dead 2 for the past week straight. Well, I mean, like at the very end of the night when we're done working on stuff, and it's awesome.
Oh yeah, killing zombies.
Yeah, it's like I never played the original, and so I went straight to Left 4 Dead 2, and I absolutely love it. I can't imagine how the original could have been. I mean, I don't know. Is the original really that different? Because I'm thinking about buying it because the second one is so good.
Word on the street is everything they did right in the first one stayed in the second one. And then some of the things they did kind of weird are actually still there too. Apparently the computer AI is still awful. But since you're playing with Steve, you're probably fine.
Yeah, it's not always the smartest, but once in a while it just kicks the crap out of you. Like we're playing, there's one level where you go play in a plantation house. And man alive, Steve and Jeff and I, like, one night we tried to do it just on medium, and it was virtually impossible. I don't know how, I guess you have to be a decorated web gamer to really get through that.
Yeah, they've apparently kicked up the difficulty quite a bit. Realistic is another code word for legendary. Impossible.
You play in a plantation house?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like you, it's a big plantation house, like you would imagine. It looks, it's got a big courtyard, and zombies just come in from every side. I mean, like everywhere, and you just have to fend them off. I think it's like a 5 minute attack, and it's really hard.
So it's like that first village level in Resident Evil 4, where they're just crashing in with the ladders through the windows, and the guy with the chainsaw cuts your head off.
Pretty much.
That's all I know about Resident Evil. Because after I got my head cut off, I stopped playing.
Were you miffed, or...?
Yeah, I just sort of felt like, the heck with this game. And then I was also playing it on the GameCube. And then I played later on the Wii, and I found the shooting aiming was a lot easier with that. But that's another story.
So when you quit, when your head got cut off, you're like all those people who quit Chrono Trigger when Chrono died. Not that I'm feeling bad about spoiling a 10-year-old game.
Well, no, because that doesn't happen until way into the game, like at least 45 minutes into the game.
And there's nothing you can do about that, really.
Yeah, that's a scripted loss, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
45 minutes?
Yeah, you can't get to Chrono dying in 45 minutes, Reed?
I am not big on speed, man. I always go really slow through games.
I know.
Even with a new game plus, I know 45 minutes is impossible unless you're Kevin and on Canadian bacon, but...
Is that like a street name for some kind of drug?
Yeah, that's what they call crack up there. Canadian bacon.
I won't lie to you guys, I'm on Canadian bacon right now. And pomegranate juice.
That'd be disgusting. Even if that's real, that's a gross combo.
Isn't it?
Bacon, egg, and pomegranate juice? You'd be surprised. No, I know Reed plays, takes a while to play games, because if you ever watch him play Earthbound, he has a very strict regimen of always walking on the paths, even if it takes him directly through the path of a whole bunch of mushrooms or something. He will stay right on the path.
You gotta keep it real, man.
Like, you don't walk through any of the grass in towns or anything, you just stick straight to the road?
Usually. I don't know why. I think I have OCD.
I think that covers pretty much everybody in the room right now. So, let's move on. Hey,
Charlie, what are you playing? I want to know.
Oh, I'm playing, we can take turns. But it's my turn now. I'm playing Dragon Age Origins right now, actually, or for the past 2 weeks. It's a pretty long game.
I haven't played it. I hear you don't actually fight that many dragons.
This is true. I think that's true of fantasy games in general, because if you fight too many dragons, you're probably not going to live very long. They are, by design, pretty difficult.
Clearly you never played the World of Warcraft, because that's all you've been doing in that game for the past 5 years, is fighting dragons.
Well, so wait a second. I haven't played World of Warcraft. Go ahead.
So Charlie, is the Dragon Age, is it an RPG, or what is it?
Yeah, it's a BioWare RPG, which says a lot. If you've ever played one BioWare RPG, you kind of got the gist of the rest of them, mechanics-wise.
I haven't. Who are the guys that made Fallout 3? Is that... Oh, that's Bethesda, isn't it?
Yeah, Bethesda. We're also very good, but also it's the same thing. If you've played one Bethesda RPG, you got the mechanics down for most of the rest of them.
Okay, I was going to say, I was wondering if it was like that.
Was BioWare System Shock and Bioshock? Or no, that's why I'm thinking of BioWare. Bioshock.
I honestly made a mistake, but I didn't want to be the jerk who did it, so I'm glad you did, Kevin.
Thank you, Liz. That means so much to me.
No, they made Neverwinter Nights, they made Mass Effect, and Knights of the Old Republic, those types of games.
Right. Yeah, I didn't like Knights of the Old Republic very much.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone say that before.
It was just sort of like, oh, I'm a Jedi, alright. Oh, so I can kill this guy, or I can not kill him. I wonder which one is the good side of the Force. You know, it's just sort of like, enforced morality in your video game, and I, yeah.
Sorry, you go.
I'm just saying that forced morality is something that actually they've kind of gotten away with a lot, away from a lot in Dragon Age. It's one of the more interesting aspects is that this is the first one that there is no morality system, really. Like, nothing that you can see and keep track of. It's just pretty much how individual characters see your character based on your decisions. But beyond that, you don't just become good or evil, and you don't get any benefits from being good or evil, except for the regular. You have to get experience for killing the guy, or maybe some extra money for not killing him. It depends.
Does it affect who you get to take to the gold saucer?
I'm sure it does.
Maybe you can take the big black guy from Left 4 Dead to the gold saucer.
With Steve?
The chocolate sauce.
That's right. That's basically what you're doing every night when you play Left 4 Dead, right? Is you're going on a date with Steve.
Well, we're usually making jokes about chocolate helicopters, so...
Do you play as the chick, Reed?
I do, actually, and the only reason is because she was wearing a Depeche Mode shirt, and I thought, that's pretty cool.
Is she really? That's pretty good.
That was the only thing that I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to play as the girl.
Alright, Joe, hit me. What are you playing?
I have been playing the newer version of Prince of Persia on 360.
Ooh. How's that been working out for you?
If Prince of Persia is your thing, if you really like, Sands of Time, maybe Warrior Within, and, the True Thrones, it's pretty much more of the same, but, at the same time, it's good, It's, the combat, the combat still really doesn't work. They changed it to where you're now, it's only one guy at a time, but they have all these retarded states that they go in where you have to use one move to break it. It's annoying, but the rest of the game's pretty good.
So, how many games have come out for the Prince of Persia series since the original? Because the original is the only one I've ever played, and I used to play that on my friend's laptop. It was like a 30-pound laptop.
I think, like, in all, there's been, like, three generations. I know that it was, like, a second and a 3D of the original series. And they, like, had the Sands of Time trilogy. And then there's this new one, which has been the only one released so far.
So we're up to, what, 5, 6? I think?
In technicality, let me think here. I want to say, technically, at least for mainstream, there's probably be like 7, depending on how you consider Prince of Persia 3D.
So are those all like platformers, or what are they?
Well, the first two were platformers, and then I saw somebody play the very first one of the Sands of Time trilogy, and it seemed very platform-oriented, just in 3D. And I don't know if they've moved on to more of a total 3D environment or not.
I'm confused. After 7 or so games, wouldn't he be the king of Persia by now? What's taking so long? Well, no, I'm serious. That's a pretty crappy, like, lifetime of hopping around and jumping and sword swinging, and you don't get a promotion? What is that? It's terrible.
Well, when did, when did the first prince become the first king? I mean, it's just kind of a, I assume it's just a title. Granted, I've never played the games, but,
Sure. Well, he doesn't really become the king in the first game, does he? He just rescues the princess or something.
Something
and then
like that.
He moves out of Persia to Greece or someplace.
Or he moves out of Persia into his parents' basement.
Yeah. No, he moves upstairs, though. He moves into the attic, because the second game starts with him jumping out of a window. I specifically remember this. You jump out of the window, and you have to run all the way down the streets to the dock and jump onto a ship before it sails away. That's the very first level of Prince of Persia 2.
Do you think they'll ever make a fresh Prince of Persia?
Does he have an auntie and an uncle?
Probably. Who knows?
That would be necessary. Maybe that's why he's not getting the promotion, is because his uncle's the other prince or something, and he's been political maneuvering and too much red tape. You cannot hold a coronation ceremony under these ridiculous family conditions.
You would know that, Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I've been maneuvering for my dad's job for years, and just not happening.
Nah, I'm pretty sure his aunt and uncle died, so he joined some old guy, you know, head off the Alderaan.
Yeah, and they need to get... that's the ship you jump onto is run by a lovable rogue and his big fuzzy co-pilot.
So, Liz, what are you playing?
I am shocked that I'm the first person to say this in the room, but I am playing New Super Mario Bros. This week. I'm only on World 5, so I would appreciate no spoilers, but Iggy's been jumping around on that castle, so I think we are going to go toe-to-toe in a couple levels.
I like Iggy. He's my favorite Koopaling.
He looks good. I like the upgrade they gave him. He gained some height. He got a little hair color change, I think. The color stayed the same, but I think his shell changed, and he looks good. He looks like he's been working out.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
I was pleasantly surprised to find out that all the other Koopa kids have made a comeback. That they always made me happy, and it's good to see them. I haven't played it yet, though. So I'm everything's based on hearsay.
Yeah,
it's good. It's definitely a good game. I'm playing it with my boyfriend Matt, aka Dios Padre, for those of you who remember his inauspicious reign with Jeb 2 over the website. It's playing it with two players is a lot of fun. It's harder than playing it with one player, and I cannot imagine what it would be like to play with four people. I did it at PAX with Rofish, Ryan, and Shadow X. Brian and Shadow's girlfriend. And it was uncomfortable. Ryan was kind of pissy for the rest of the day after we played that game, so I wouldn't want to play that four people. Seriously, he said I was rude for letting him fall off the level.
Apparently that's what happens, is you get ahead and somebody else dies, or you take too many power-ups, and then it divorces and strife, friendships ended. I was lucky. I was there with John Kay, everybody's favorite merch designer, and when we stepped up to play it, it was just these two other random dudes show up, And so I'm sort of watching out for John to not try to piss him off. But the other two guys, I was just knocking you out. Gonna take your coins, gonna grab your power-ups before you can get them. And it sort of turned into this two-on-two tag team competition.
See, I haven't played the tag team way, or not that way, but the way with the coins and, like, the scores at the end. I guess what we've been doing is, like, the co-op, where it's for the greater good. It's the communist version, where you're doing everything to help each other out. But
No, we were absolutely cutthroat. It was ridiculous. At one point, the flower pops out of a box, and I just grabbed three of them. And no firepower for anybody else, just me.
You took three.
I took three, actually, yeah. And the Nintendo rep very helpfully tells us whoever gets into the pipe first comes out of the pipe first at the top again. So suddenly I'm finding myself, do I want to go and grab this bunch of coins over here, or do I want to jump into the pipe and whatever we get? And it turned out the pipe was the right decision because there was a Yoshi on the other side.
There was only one Yoshi?
I think so. That's how I remember it.
You are terrible.
Did you eat the Yoshi, Kevin?
Oh my god.
Only in Soviet Russia, Reed. Only in Soviet Russia.
How do you even take that apart to eat it? I feel like the skin is all rubbery.
It's just a matter of removing the saddle and then, you know, you cook it up real good.
Goes it's nice kind of a saute.
Mmm.
A saute.
Yeah. And then you can wear the boots afterwards. And they protect you from piranha plants. Alright, we're going to answer some letters now. How does that sound?
Wait, what are you playing?
Oh yeah, what have I been playing? Jeez,
what have you been playing?
How very selfless of you, there, Kevin.
Yeah, I was just gonna skip right past that and move on to the letters. No, we can make people wait. Who cares? They're just our loyal listeners. We'll deal with them in a second. I have been playing on the original Super Nintendo, Lufia 2: The Rise of the Sinistrals.
What's a Sinistral?
The crowd goes wild. It's a really big dude with a sword who punches you in the face repeatedly, and you die.
So it's a gangbanger.
Yeah, pretty much. They're pretty gang. It's funny you bring it up, actually, because just recently, Square Enix announced they're going to remake Lufia 2. Or at least that's what the translation out of Famitsu seems to imply. And all these pictures are coming up of the characters in the game with... You know how all the Final Fantasy characters in the last 3 or 4 games have looked sort of steampunk, kind of, you know, cut open midriff and too many belts and rainbow-colored shorts and so forth?
Hey, no, I think Lulu had just the right amount of belts.
Who's talking about Lulu? I was talking about Titus. But that's sort of how the Lufia 2 remake is looking. You know, the hero Maxim in the original game, he's just hero, he's got the armor, he's got a sword, he's, I'm going to cut you open. Now, in the remake, he's got a leather jacket. He's got sort of Iggy Pop kind of pants, and his hair has been done up a little extra spiky, like he's using too much gel, and it looks like there's going to be laser beams and, you know, steampunk airships flying all over the place, and it's going to be on the Nintendo DS, and a lot of people are sort of leery about this reimagining, about how this has moved from classic fantasy into the realm of ridiculous, over-the-top fantasy that Square seems to have bred over the last decade.
I was going to say, I have never played any of these games, and I haven't played any of the Square games since Final Fantasy VIII. I stopped playing that halfway through because I just didn't find it interesting after the cowboy cried. And
no, the best part was disc one, so you actually played the best part of the game. You missed nothing except the space exploration and the singing.
Okay, well that's what I thought, because ever since then I have had no interest in any of the Square games.
Yeah. It just, for some people, it's after you finish exploring Midgar in Final Fantasy VII, and some people got all the way to 9 and then just sort of fell apart when half the characters turned out to be animals.
That's what happened to me. In the middle of 9, like once Queen Bronn like washes up on the beach or something, and I'm standing over her bloated blue carcass, and I'm like, really? I don't care.
Although this is actually kind of curious to me, this Lufia 2 remake, because I find that the Square remakes are often hit or miss. This sounds like a pretty dramatic change, but I think the remakes are usually pretty bad. It's whenever they just retranslate that it comes out really good. Because I know the Final Fantasy Tactics and the Chrono Trigger retranslations were excellent. But the Final Fantasy IV remake for the DS was kind of
with you kids. I'm not a big fan of Final Fantasy IV in the first place.
Agreed.
Wait, which one is that?
That's the one where you're a Dark Knight and you run a fleet of airships and it's totally awesome, but then he goes through this whole change of heart and he becomes a paladin and he turns into a wuss. Alright, let's read some letters from our faithful membership. I'm going to start this one off. This one has a question for Reed and then a question for all of us. The question to Reed is, will you marry me? And the question to all of us is, will you come to Australia? I will sell cookies and chocolate to pay for your flight, accommodation, and whatever I can. Thank you, Dr. Worm.
Yeah, I kind of saw that one coming, actually. It would be excellent to go to Australia.
Would be nice to go to Australia. Yeah. I understand it's harder to get video games down there because their classification system bans anything that's more violent than Super Smash Bros.
Pretty sure that gay marriage is illegal in Australia, isn't it?
Is it?
I got news for you, buddy. It's illegal in most of the United States.
Well, I thought not that I'm considering it, but if it was even possible, it would have to happen in Iowa, wouldn't it?
Or Massachusetts. Or no, Canada.
I think Massachusetts repealed it, didn't they?
Did they?
I'm not sure. Have it right now. I want to say it's Vermont. Iowa, I know, is good. And two other ones in New England that are real happy with themselves.
See, if it's in Massachusetts, not only could you get married, then you could also do it at Penny Arcade Expo, which, in a completely unvarnished seg, is where Fangamer is going to be next March, at least in spirit. I don't know if we've got a panel set up or anything yet.
We're still thinking about it.
We're thinking about it.
But you guys should go. I want to go.
Yeah, I definitely want to go. And, you know, I mean, we're doing well enough this Christmas. Like, it's a really good Christmas for us. Last year was good, but this year is just crazy. I mean, we literally cannot keep up with the orders we're getting. So, I don't know, we might have enough money saved up to make it happen.
There you go. Fangamer at PAX. How about that?
But to answer the question, no.
Okay. No, just not interested.
He's spoken for. Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know if it's a, I don't even know if it's a girl, because you know, there's not like Mrs. Doctor. It's just Doctor, you know.
Yeah.
Doctor Mrs. the Monarch, exactly. See, that's totally clear, except for the voice.
No, they explained that in season 3. She smokes 3 packs of cigarettes a day, or at least she used to before she met the Monarch. Anyway, to answer the question, will Reed marry you? No. We come to Australia? No, but you can see us at PAX. Let's move on. My name is Tommy. Hi, Tommy. And I was curious. After the Mother series, then Chrono Trigger, then Metal Gear, then Super Mario RPG, what are 2 or 3 games that you guys are thinking of tackling next?
Well, I can say, since John's not here, I'll talk for him, and I'll say without a doubt that he is dying to do some Donkey Kong Country merchandise. He's got one shirt design already. I mean, he literally pumped it out in like 3 hours. Wow. And I know he's got ideas for at least 3 or 4 other items besides that. So you could probably plan on seeing some DKC merch sometime in the near future.
Would you want to have Camille make merchandise, little figures of all of the animal friends? Because I would buy those.
You know what? She might consider it. And the great thing is, they're just animals, you know? They're not like creepy, you know, animals with boobs or anything.
What?
That is completely not the direction I thought you were going to take that.
Agreed.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of video games where the animals are like, have some weird anthropomorphic thing that really sets them apart, but in Donkey Kong Country, they're just animals.
Okay. No, fair enough. I see what you're saying. Absolutely. Look, we can do Rambi the Rhino because he's just a rhinoceros. We couldn't do Freya Crescent from FF9 because she's some sort of humanoid rat thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see. I dig that. That's you've clearly thought about this. Now you realize, of course, that this means we can't do Candy Kong either, because that's, I don't know what's going on with that.
She does not.
I'm not even remotely upset about that.
What if you were to do a statue of Candy Kong after a double mastectomy?
Okay, now we all know where Liz is going with this.
I don't know where I'm going with this. Don't enlighten me.
Well, whatever it is, I'm enjoying it. Let's keep going.
Let's just move on. Now, what's another series we could do? I really like this Japanese game that got translated by Aeon Genesis. It's called Live Alive. And it's fantastic. And nobody knows about it in North America. But
that'll sell well.
Oh, yeah, I think it'll sell absolutely great to, you know, the five people who love this game as much as I do. But this is my point, is that there's a lot of series, the way we want to go is into stuff that people love and remember, but also not so far into the super mainstream. Like, we're not going to do a Halo project. We're not going to do something for the Madden football games.
We're not?
No, I'm sorry. You'll have to get your John Madden official football gear from someplace else.
I guess we got to get the Halo merchandise up to Mark Echo.
I'm sure licensing would be, you know, ridiculous anyways.
Yeah, we'll leave that stuff up to the professionals, I think. We'll just go semi-pro. Speaking on that note, we've got a letter here from Russ, who asks us, have you guys ever been propositioned by a video game publisher or developer to help make some game merch? And if not, would you be open to doing so? I don't know, have we been propositioned by a video game publisher? I know we've gone after other marketing system. We actually went to Capcom, I think it was.
Yeah, we've spoken with Capcom, and I've tried to get a hold of Square about some other stuff, but that never panned out. The guys at Capcom are actually pretty cool. And I think there's been one or two really, really small shops that have come to us. It was interesting, but, you know, I don't think we wanted to go with it just because it was... I mean, we're talking like web-based Flash games, you know, and we got other fish to fry. But we actually, Charlie, you might tell them about, I don't know, because I don't remember where it ended up, but what happened with the one guy you were contacting after PAX?
Oh, yeah, Brian Lee O'Malley, the Scott Pilgrim guy. I did try to contact him and try to have us maybe make the player's guide or something for his Scott Pilgrim game that's coming out alongside the movie. But they're waiting for the actual game to be more complete before they actually have someone else look at it, because they have a first look agreement with another player's guide company. So, but if they pass, then it should be open, and Brian should get back to me about that if they pass on it.
It's probably Prima, those whores.
Hey, what did you say, Joe?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I only said, you know, something about, you know, Primo does something.
Yeah, they'll probably just get Prima and Brady Games to do the guides, and, you know, here, whip off a guide in about 10 minutes. Use Zetsnest to get the screenshots, and then we'll sell it for $14.95.
You know what they should get is, who did the Final Fantasy IX guide where half the tips were like, if you go online and punch in this code, it'll be totally sweet.
Play online was the worst idea for a player's guide.
No kidding.
Yeah, I've only done a little bit of research into Prima or Prima or whatever however you say them, and Brady Games, but there's not a lot of guides they put out that I've been even remotely impressed with.
I know, I have one of Brady Games' old ones for Perfect Dark, and I also have the Nintendo Power one, and side by side, there are some interesting choices that both of them have made, which sort of show different things you can do with it. Like, in the Nintendo guide's a little more, here's a map, and then here's dots to show you where the soldiers are and stuff. And the Brady Games guide is more, here's a lot of text, and we describe exactly step-by-step how you can do something. And so between the two of them, if I have them both open to the same page, I can figure out what I'm supposed to do. And they just, different approaches and how you can use the space without using so much room that your book becomes an encyclopedia. It's interesting. Also, yes, Brady Games is a little more badass. They're a little more, we're going to go and smoke some enemies, and we're going to blow stuff up, and it's really cool. And Nintendo's a little more laid back. They're like, yeah, you're going to do this, that, the other thing, and then mission complete.
Yeah, they're so badass. They're writing for a player's guide.
Well, that's more than you've done in the last week.
That's not true.
You've done more than write a player's guide in the last week?
Yeah, I've had a big week.
All right. Two players' guides.
Yeah, it's true.
One badass and one kind of laid back, so you can get both of the markets.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I kind of wanted to keep this on the down low, but I got a book deal with HarperCollins. Me and Jason Statham are going to write a really badass player's guide for shockingly new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
How many times do you get to use the phrase "kick in the face"? And then you kick this guy in the face, and you kick that guy in the face, because that's all I know about Jason Statham is he kicks a lot of people in the face.
And he looks good while doing it, Kevin.
He does, actually.
he does a lot of flying across screens, too, you know?
Yeah, because he's in the process of kicking somebody in the face.
Makes sense.
I don't see why this is a discussion. We all know exactly how this works, man.
Well, I'd say we answered the question. So we, who knows? There's a vague, slim possibility that we'll be doing something for Scott Pilgrim later. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But in the meantime, we've kind of decided to stick with what we've been doing, just kind of picking up games that we enjoy and just making some, you know, merchandise inspired by those games instead of actually, like, looking to do official stuff for any given company.
Although if someone wants to approach us with an offer, I think we would consider it, right?
Okay. Yeah, we'd definitely consider it, but, you know, in reality, I don't know, because it would take a lot of our attention. I mean, the Mother 3 handbook was, it took like 110% of our resources. I mean, we worked on that so hard, so long, and there'd have to be a big incentive for us to do that on another project. Like, we'd really have to be excited about it.
Well, Reed, with 10% unemployment, you're never gonna find a loss of, I screwed up the structure of that sentence, but there's people.
We got people.
Yeah, 110% minus 10% for unemployment equals 100.
So we just got to give it our all.
Basic math, yeah.
It's true. One plus two plus two plus one is six.
We know our
math. I lost track of that.
No, you did it backwards. It's 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 2, because that's 2112, which is the year the world is ending.
That's minus 2112.
But what does U plus me equal?
Calculus?
Yes!
I wasn't sure. I was like, is that calculus? I don't remember.
You guys are a blast. Alright, so long story short, we proposition the game companies generally, and then they say, we'll get back to you on that, and disappear. Moving on. I have a question here from Matthew. He asks, for games with very iconic symbols, like Contra's C, how would you broach that? Could you use the fiery sea as it appears in most Contra logos? Redesigning such an element might not sit well with the most staunch obsessors. Or would you drop the symbol altogether from the line, avoiding complications, but also avoiding a game's most recognizable element? Cheers. I just want to start by saying, thanks for saying cheers at the end, Matthew. I say that all the time to people and they look at me like, huh? I'm like, it means thank you, basically. So,
next time you should try saying, Norm!
Yeah, Norm! Hate Norm with the passion of a fiery thousand suns, but I think there's sort of an unspoken subtext. He makes it very clear that he's talking about Contra's C. Do we have any Contra merchandise in the pipeline there, Reed?
No, we don't, and in John's absence, I guess I'll talk for him again. He's very good at what he does, and he knows how to make a design that kind of evokes a certain game or series without actually infringing on the copyright. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for example, with the Chrono Trigger shirt, actually, Silverstreak and John kind of worked together on that. And it's a very, something about it just feels very Chrono Trigger-ish, just mostly because of the intro screen. But at the same time, you know, there's nothing in there that's copyrighted. It's a totally legit, legal shirt. So
I'm actually wearing it right now as we speak. It's very comfortable.
It is today.
I was going to switch to Fangamer stuff, but I'm wearing pajamas with donuts all over them. Ugh.
You know, if you take a bite out of a donut, it looks like a C, which is like Contra.
Or Chrono Trigger.
Or Chrono Trigger. Or
Country.
Earthbound.
From Donkey Kong Country.
Isn't that spelled with a K?
Kong
is spelled with a K. In fact, I think Country is the only C-letter word in that entire series that is spelled with the C, and they don't change it to a K.
Well, Liz, I was going to ask if the sigh at the end of that statement about your donut pajamas, if that was a sigh of like, why am I wearing these, or, man, I am so awesome.
It's mostly that these are sweet pajamas. I kind of feel like Homer Simpson would feel if he was wearing his favorite food.
See, bacon makes lousy clothing, so.
Oh, I'm sure
someone on Something Awful has tried to make bacon clothing.
Actually, I know for a fact that it's happened on Reddit. I'm positive.
Really?
Yeah, somebody made a bacon dress. It was disgusting.
Oh, cooked or raw.
A prom you'll never forget.
So anyway, to get back to the question, the question was about the Contra thing.
Yeah, we redesigned the elements. You know, you'd still recognize it as Contra. I mean, look at what we did with Metal Gear Solid. We turned that whole Foxhound thing into a logo that clearly speaks to the Foxhound organization and yet isn't actually, you know, game... I don't think it's game-related, is it?
No, it's not, and that's the thing. John, he takes elements from the game, but he doesn't actually, like, use logos. Like, he takes elements and he makes them into something new instead of trying to tweak the logo to make it non-infringing, which is what I like about John's designs, and I think a lot of our customers like, too, is that it's not like we're just, you know, taking away Mario's mustache and putting him on a shirt, you know? We're trying to evoke the game without, you know, trying to dodge copyrights like a bunch of losers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like that is what works well about our shirts, because it's also not one of those things where you look like you bought it at Hot Topic and you look like a big dork. Like, they have a modicum of class to them. They're well made, the colors are nice, you have a little bit of respect.
So, recently, Fangamer.com, in association with Starman.net, has finished its Halloween Fun Fest for the Earthbound Mother video game series. What did everybody think? We got some pretty quality entries this year, and one thing I want to say in particular, this is the first year I really remember Mother 3 almost, I don't think it was quite more than Earthbound, but it had this huge presence that I don't think was there in previous years.
Well, I think after, like, what is it, 7 or 8 previous Fun Fests, people are kind of thrilled to not be drawing the same pictures of 3 over and over again.
A common complaint, yes. Do you think maybe in 3 or 4 years we start getting complaints that people draw Tanatana Island too often?
Entirely possible.
Oh, look, that's a picture of people, like, eating mushrooms.
Well, one of the things that I liked about Mother 3 is that it's got so much material for a Halloween Fun Fest. Like, you've got the pig masks, like, the entire pork army. The pig masks, you've got Tanatana Island, you've got the Chimera Lab, Osoan Castle. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of stuff, you know?
It's true. It is quite a wide-ranging. It's sort of the theme of the game is somberness. And that translates very nicely onto the Halloween atmosphere.
I thought the theme of the game was that your family will always let you down.
No. They get that together. That's a terrible thing. Don't say that. Ooh.
I'm just putting it out there into the ether.
Nobody lets anybody down. Flint goes out looking for Klaus every day. In the cliffs, even though he's
never seen
him. Yeah, and
how long did that work out? He didn't find him.
Yeah, he did. Eventually. Sort of.
He ignores poor Lucas, who has to grow up on his own. It's a pretty terrible fathering there, I must say.
Well, Lucas was kind of a mom's boy, and he had to man up.
I was going to say, maybe...
That's tough love, man.
Maybe the theme of the game should be that if somebody in your family dies, they'll probably come back to life, and then you'll have to kill them.
You'll kill them. They kill themselves when you use the Franklin badge to reflect their lightning. Spoiler alert, by the way.
I feel like the lesson of the game is every time you open your mailbox, you should, like, back up and be like, are there rats in there? No, not this time.
That only happened once.
Well,
the rats weren't dead.
Oh, no.
But there were 1,000 of them. I counted.
Were they bad rats, or were they, like, the good rats?
The strangest thing is that I don't really have a mailbox. I have a slot that just the letters drop in, so...
I was going to say, how big are the mailboxes in Canada? Because, dang, man.
Well, you only get mail once or twice a year, and they just bring the whole parcel up in one of those giant, like, snowmobile trucks.
Really, they don't bring them up on the... They don't bring them up on the Conestoga wagons, like from the Oregon Trail?
No. This is modern. This is the new millennium, Liz. We have snowmobiles. I think up north they still use the dog sleds too, so.
I feel like a Zamboni would be pretty efficient.
No. A Zamboni is for making things icier. You try to make things less icy so that you can walk to your neighbor's house without falling over. So, having spoken and misinformed people horribly about the Canadian experience.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of good entries. I had to judge the writing portion, which was fun. But, I mean, in the end, you just have to come to some decisions. There were some good ones, there were some bad ones, but there were more good ones that I found, so.
It's true.
It was pretty tough.
Too many entries this year that were, like, bad. Everybody had some decent talent, and it was kind of a tough call.
I was going to ask. I didn't get a lot of time to go through the entries. Like, the writing entries, for example, like, when I did the Holiday Fun Fest, man, it's been, like, 3 years now, 3 years ago. Like, the one that I had when writing was really good, partly because it was a really dense story. It was all packed in there. It wasn't very long. Are there any entries like that won, or what do you guys recommend, is what I'm asking.
Well, that's the good thing about the writing is it was very varied. There was some almost novel-like entries, but there was also a little bit of poetry, some short, almost stream-of-writing type writing entries that I think one of them won the skill part.
Was it the one about Lord Passion?
Yeah, that Brandy of the Damned one. It was very interesting.
That one was really good. I really liked that a lot.
But it's not your standard type of writing that I've usually seen in these fun fests. So I think people are changing it up a lot.
Yeah, I noticed for hand art there was a lot more sewing this year, which is always interesting because generally, like, the effort you have to put forth to do that kind of scares a lot of people away. So the people who end up doing it are the people who are really good and have a lot of experience. So there's a plush zombie dog that somebody did that was great. There's Ice Five is always awesome with whatever she does. And of course there was the big the monster thing that's above Chimera Labs. I don't remember what it was called, but again, very cool.
Somebody did one of the Herald of Chimeras?
Yeah, you didn't see the one where it's like life size?
No, I gotta go look at it. See, I haven't had a chance to run through and look at all these entries yet.
It's crazy. It's life's, like, you could hang that over your doorway and open your very own Chimera Lab. It would be a little creepy and probably underfunded, but it would be very cool.
That's awesome.
That's astounding.
For audio video, I know there was one Flash video somebody did. I can't remember if it was a Mother... It was like a Mother 3 theme thing, like with Duster and a couple ghosts that haunted some pumpkins that was real good. And Klaus's Agony was very good. I suggest you watch that.
Wait, that was cool. The kid where he's the kid with the... he does the acting as Klaus.
Yes.
Man, that kid, what a trooper. That was like 15 minutes of heart-wrenching, gut-spilling. Oh my gosh.
Did it just, like, stop your heart there? Is that why you just cut off?
For a whole one-fifth of a minute.
For a full 20 seconds. One-twentieth of a second. I can't remember which one it was, but yes.
Yeah, those are the ones that stick out to me right now. I mean, all the entries were pretty good. There were lots, there were a couple good comics that were good. There were, I know the ones that won comp art were both from Bed Island and Mother 3, that name escapes me all of a sudden, with the rats in the mailbox and the mushrooms. Both of those were really cool.
Yeah, there were actually no Comic-Con in Ireland, not writing entries, actually.
Really?
Yeah, there were Asohi and Chimera Lab, but no Comic-Con in Ireland.
A skipped opportunity. Perhaps in next year's Halloween Fun Fest, someone will try that.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta ask, how have you guys all come to a consensus on how to pronounce some of the names from Mother 3? Like, Asohi, did I hear you say? I looked at that word and I was like, I'm not even gonna pretend I know what that is.
Yeah, Osohe.
It's tri-phonetics.
Yeah,
because, you know, people came to the islands and they went, oh, so, hey, there's a castle over there. And that's why they called it Osohe Castle.
That actually figured pretty prominently into the Mother 3 handbook, too. Charlie, did you write the chapter 2? Who was that did chapter 2?
No, it wasn't me. I think that was Brian, I want to say.
Wasn't it Brian? I think it was Brian.
Well, anyway, whoever did it, it was rife with, oh, so hey, jokes.
I've got the guide out here, and it says the editor was Sebastian. Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Sebastian.
Sebastian's a swell guy.
Sebastian is a swell guy, and he did those illustrations for the Mother 3 handbook. He did all the items, and he pumped those things out unbelievably fast. Like, literally, in a matter of, like, 3 or 4 days, he had them all done.
And he went back and wrote some. That's incredible.
Yeah, he put in a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. They all look real good.
So on the topic of the Fun Fest, we were talking about earlier, and we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do for the Holiday Fun Fest. And I should apologize to the Halloween Fun Fest participants, because I never got the Halloween Fun Fest website done. Things have just been too crazy. But when things slow down from the holiday rush at the store, I intend to take as much time as I need to get things rolling, to get things done right for the Holiday Fun Fest. Like, I don't want to sit around and work on it forever and then it's too late. But at the same time, I don't want to not do anything. So we haven't decided how the Holiday Fun Fest is going to work yet, but we're going to do something. So just putting that out there.
Are we going to see a Christmas theme on the front page of Saruman.net?
Oh, you know what? Man, did we forget to change it for Halloween?
I believe so.
Oh, man, that's like the first year we've ever forgot to change the Halloween theme. Oh, well, yes, we'll definitely get the Christmas one.
It is?
That's
really?
One of my favorite. Yeah, I think we've always done it in the past.
I think really? You have.
Really? I'm sure there was some year that we were like, are we going to do this? And it just sort of slipped by, and then we did it anyway, but it was November.
Maybe one year it was Moonside.net, and we were like, ah, that counts.
Close enough.
Well, gee, you've recovered my faith in remembering to put up Halloween, oh, except for this year when we didn't do it.
I was going to say, technically I've lost it.
Yeah, no, you had it back for, like, you know, 15 seconds while I thought, hey, we've actually done it every year, but then we didn't do it this year, so.
I ruined a good thing. Yeah. Hey, don't worry. Christmas theme is going to go up. I think I'll go put that up real soon.
I was going to ask you guys, I don't remember, when was the last time we did a summer fun fest? Because I know we used to do them.
I think it's been a real
five
long time.
06?
JP, I know we do you did remember? One.
I know we did one after I graduated high school, so it was definitely maybe 06, 2006.
Isn't that basically what the EBFGP has become? At least that's the way I viewed it.
It certainly felt like that this year, when we had the EBFGP and we had all kinds of crazy stuff that went on. And, you know, you could Twitter and you could post things in the forum, it would show up on the page. So it sort of worked like a fun fest.
Yeah, and I'm actually, and that's kind of what I intended for the EBFGP. And we kind of got it done for the EBFGP, but at the same time, it was kind of half implemented at the same time. So for the next major fun fest or EBFGP or any FGP, I want to start moving it where it's not, you know, we have a fun fest and then later we have an FGP. I want to kind of make them the same event. So that's something that I've been thinking about and working on. And Ryan's got a lot of the infrastructure built. It's just a matter of getting it implemented correctly. So hopefully in this coming year we'll definitely do it. But for now we're still going to keep the division between the Fun Fests and the FGPs.
Cool. Any idea what games we might do besides Earthbound for an FGP?
Liz, actually, did you bring that up? I thought you brought that up on Twitter, right?
I did bring that up on Twitter. I asked that question. I mentioned Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger as choices since Fangamer had been, like, we work with both of them. And people were very interested in Chrono Trigger. There was also some people were interested in Mario RPG, but Chrono Trigger was far and away what people were most interested in. They were also looking for Mother 3, which I'm sure that's going to come to pass eventually, but I'd like to see us branch outside the Mother series as well.
Yeah, I've actually been wanting to do a Mother FGP or Fun Fest for a while, or Mother 3 FGP or Fun Fest for a while now, so that's definitely going to happen sometime. But same for Chrono Trigger. Like, I've been thinking about that ever since the EBFGP, actually. And hopefully we will we'll get that figured out and get it done in a timely manner.
Any hope for a Earthbound Zero Funktastic gameplay?
Yes. Yes!
I don't know if I'm going to be in on that one. I don't know. I'd have to hang my my head in shame.
You'll find, like, two hosts.
You'll finally have to actually play it, Aaron.
I'll have to get past the graveyard, which is going to be a new thing for me.
The graveyard? I didn't know that.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention ActRaiser.
What is that?
It's sort of like you're an angel with a sword, but you also have all the power of God, so you have to kill monsters, but then you go to this overhead simulation mode, and you build towns and stuff. I only bring it up because it's the go-to answer on Radio PSI whenever they ask any question about video games. What's your favorite video game? ActRaiser! No, really, what, ActRaiser?
ActRaiser was like a breakout clone, like a block breaker.
Sort of like Arkanoid, but with a Final Fantasy setting. Use Cloud's gigantic sword to rebend materia into blocks.
I've got the Twitter
account. Actually, yes, that's really fun. Get Square Enix on the line. I have their new minigame for the next Final Fantasy.
So, Liz, what were you saying about Twitter?
Yeah, I've pulled up the Twitter now. I'm looking at games that people will be interested in seeing. And some of the things I'm seeing here are, oh, here's Kevin, only if it's ActRaiser. And then he posts on the games channel. We've got people looking at Pokemon Gold, Silver, Crystal, which I don't know if I'd want to do a gameplay of a Pokemon game, because I feel
Once was enough.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody said Link's Awakening, which I do love that game. That's a great game.
That it is.
Wow, I haven't played that game for so long.
You asked people what games they wouldn't want to play, and I think Zelda 2 came up.
That did come up quite a bit. Solitaire came up as well.
Let's play Solitaire.
Somebody also said they'd like to see Majora's Mask, which is another game that I think, even though like it's a big kind of commercial game under the Zelda umbrella, is really kind of weird and kind of cool. Like, it's fan gamerish in its own way.
How would you do a gameplay event of that, though? Because other than the dungeons, it's so open. You can do... you can do Honey and Darling Shop one day, or you can do the Treasure Box game, or you can do the photography thing in the swamp, you know? Like, how would you clamp down on that and say, we're going to do this particular side quest today?
There's an efficient way to do everything in that game. Like, if you could take a look and sit down with the Bomber's Notebook and figure out, like, what quests can I accomplish at the same time while I'm going through the four temples... You can plow through that game pretty quickly and still pick up all the masks. Like, you really have to plot that one down into significant sturdy points before you decided to make a gameplay of it, but...
See,
it
seems like too much work to me.
Agreed.
I think, let's just get people to play, you know, Final Fantasy and go straight through the game.
You know, I just remembered, you're right, there is an item in the game called the Bomber's Notebook, isn't there? It's like Kaczynski put his thumbprint on the game.
Wow.
So anyway, we've got Fangamer Arcade Night starting in about 9 minutes, so I'm going to be getting out of here.
Groovy. Fangamer Arcade Night happens every Saturday?
Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Which, well, incidentally, is the same time as the office cam on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
Except when you cancel it because you're swamped.
Yes, and that happens once in a while.
Sorry, I had to bring that up.
That's all right. The wounds will heal.
Well, you know what? Just make sure the holiday banner gets up and we'll call it even.
I'll make sure I tell Ryan to do it.
And then it's out of your hands.
Exactly. Oh, man, you telling Ryan to get to work, that's quite a turnaround right there.
Yeah,
I think what can I say? Russia. Garrett's taught me to delegate.
There you go.
Didn't Garrett delegate the responsibility of teaching yourself to delegate to you?
Yeah, actually, I don't know how that guy worked.
God tier at making us, you know,
making stuff happen, man.
He has absolutely been pushing us from behind. All right. Well, thanks to you, Garrett, and thanks to everybody on behalf of Charlie, Joe, Liz, and Reed. We are all out of time for the Fangamer Podcast this week. My name is Kevin, but you can call me Simon if you want. If you've got something you'd like us to answer. We don't necessarily promise to answer it in a straightforward fashion. We may ramble a bit, but we will eventually answer questions. Send them to kevin@fangamer.com, and if you write something interesting and we happen to talk about it, then you'll be on the show. So thanks very much, everybody, and we will see you next time.